If trials and tests made us stronger and perfected our faith, we'd be all spiritual giants right now.
Yeah, it would.
But it depends on what you do with the Word.
How is faith measured? How is faith strengthened? Find the answers to these questions and more today on The Believer's Voice of Victory with Kenneth Copeland and special guest Charles Capps.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. This is Monday's edition, and we're going to have a good time today and all the rest of this week because Brother Charles Capps is here with us. Praise the Lord. And we're talking about releasing the power of God in your life. This power release, we have to realize, man, I remember that the moment this became a vital revelation in my life, I thought I was waiting on God. All the time I found out He's waiting on me. He had already said, He had already done, He had already moved and said, now you go, you say, you do. And all the time I'm waiting on God to do something with His power, and His power is already here waiting on me to do what He said to do about it.
Activate it.
Yeah. Charles, welcome to this broadcast today.
Good
Praise
to
the Lord. Now, I've said about all I'm going to say. I've opened this thing up. I'm going to lean back here, and you just preach to me and all the rest of us. Praise I want to say this, though, before we get into this. Last week's broadcast really ministered to my life. I just want everybody to hear me say it. I publicly appreciate every time I get around you, I come away with my faith built up and stronger in the Lord. And I appreciate it. Praise God.
Thank you. I appreciate that. we're going to talk about the intent of the Word and understanding the intent of the Word. Because so many times people miss the intent of the Word. When you do, you miss what was said. Mm-hmm. And this is why, see, we talked about thorns in the garden that chokes out the Word. And Jesus, when He was talking about that, He said that it chokes the Word, the thorns, if you sow seed among thorns. And the Lord said to me one day, He said, you haven't understood that if you sow good seed there long enough, it'll choke out the thorns. And then Jesus said, talking about in the kingdom of God, He says, the kingdom of God, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things will be added to you. Now, the thing that choked the Word and made it become unfruitful was things that entered in, other things entered in.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well,
that's a big point, isn't it?
It won't choke it if it doesn't enter
if
in.
If it can't get in there.
Now,
that is, Charles, that, it's not just the Word. It's not just the care of this world. It's the Word entering in. It's the cares of this world entering in. It's got to get inside there before it has any effect on you one way or the other, good or bad, doesn't it?
Right.
And without the Word, that other stuff's going to get in there.
And He said it chokes the Word. Then you go to Matthew, the sixth chapter, where He's talking about the kingdom of God. And he'll tell you how it enters in, gives you indication of it. And verse 31, let's start there. He says, therefore take no thought, saying...
There it is.
I won't let that hang there a little bit.
There it is.
Take no thought by saying... Now, he's just told how that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of the lilies of the field, and it does not toil nor spin, and God supplies need. Now, he said, therefore, take no thought. He says, he'll clothe you if you just have a little faith. Then he says, take no thought by saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What are we going to do? Gas going to $3.50 a gallon. And I added that. That's St. Charles translated. he says, take no thought by saying. So he's telling you the way you take a thought is by saying. Now, I heard Glory say this some time ago, years and years ago. She said, thoughts come in your mind all the time. I believe she's the one that said it. But they'll die unborn unless you speak them.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't want to take everything that comes into your mind and let it get inside you. And Jesus is telling us something here. Take no thought, saying, what shall ye eat? What shall we drink? Wherewith shall we be clothed? Don't take any thought by saying that. Now, why would he say that? Because faith always stops at the question mark. There's no faith in that. What are we going to do? The price of gas is bigger than God.
Yeah, there's not an ounce of faith in that.
The Israel said, can he provide a table in the wilderness? And, well, I mean, he provoked God and the angels.
Yeah,
he provided the table, all right, but they died in the wilderness, too. And you have people that say, well, yeah, but you see, this wilderness experience for we're going through is to make us stronger. Hey, check out the scriptures. It didn't make Israel stronger. It killed them.
Yeah, it didn't work.
It killed them.
If you
stay in it long enough, it'll kill you.
The two that made it through there were strong when they got there.
That's right.
Praise God.
Joshua and Caleb said, we're well able to take the land. Let us go in at once.
Yes, sir.
Let's go do it. Now, because of the others, they were kept out for 40 years. But, you know, when they got in there, what, Caleb was 80-something years old. And he said, give me the mountain with the giants on it. Now, they held fast their confession for 40 years. And so there's a misunderstanding about the wilderness experience and the trials and tests that come your way. It doesn't make your faith stronger. It doesn't make you more spiritual. Now, if you act on the Word, the acting on the Word will, but it's not the wilderness experience or the trial or the test that was meant to make you stronger. It was meant to put you 6 foot under and have you to give up.
Yeah.
Jesus said, in adversity and when these things come, they fall away. He didn't say it made them stronger. He said they fall away. So if God was the one causing the problems and the situations to come, just think of it this way. If trials and tests made us stronger and perfected our faith, we'd be all spiritual giants now.
Yeah, it would. Yeah.
But it depends on what you do with the Word. I'm getting excited here.
I am too. Yeah.
But we need to see what Jesus is talking about. You take thought by saying. Don't speak things that are contrary to the Word of God, because it allows you to take a thought that is not of God. He said, take no thought by saying. And of course, he's talking about anxious thought, because that's involved. And when he says, what do we do? What are we going to do? I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to believe God for $3.50 or $5 or $10 for the gas. God has supplied all of our need, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So that's the way things enter into the heart, is by taking thought, by saying. And people say, well, I can already see we're not going to have the money by the end of the year to make a payment on our house. And we're going to lose our house and our car sure as the world. They're well on their way.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's in your mouth and in your heart. And you'll be led by that information you planted in here to make wrong decisions. And it wasn't God that did it. It was you taking the wrong thought and putting it in the garden. In the parable of the sower, you know, Jesus said, the sower soweth the word.
You know, Charles, we don't have any excuse. It's all right here.
Right here.
It's all spelled out black and white and red. the whole system.
Yeah.
It's not like, well, I didn't know how to do that. Well, you could take that one verse of scripture that you just got through talking about, and that teaching that Jesus did there, and understand that that's the way you seek, that's the way you function as a human being, and if you will get over on His way of doing it, it works. He said, if you'll seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, His right way of doing this, you're going to be taking thoughts and saying them, but they're the right thoughts you're taking and saying, and that's seeking first the kingdom of God. And all these things will be added to you.
That's it.
Now, I heard you say one time about that very thing. That's so simple, you have to have help to misunderstand it.
But folks have had a lot of help.
High-paid help to help us misunderstand that.
Now we're going to talk about the intent of the Word and understanding what we know about faith. Let's go, first of all, over to Luke, the 18th chapter. Now, if you take the wrong intent of the Scripture, you can be crippled in your prayer life. You can be crippled in believing God. And let's deal with this, the widow and the unjust judge. I've heard it preached so many times the wrong way till I want you to know the right way. Let's read it. And he spake a parable to them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint or give up, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Now, I've heard people teach this, that she just kept coming, she just kept coming, just weary-warded him till he finally just said, I'm going to do it to get rid of you, and that's the way God is. Now, they're comparing God to a man that fears not God nor regards man. This is the devil. This is not God.
He's not God at
this
all.
Is not Jesus teaching us to do this and say, well, just weary-wart God, just keep on praying. I had a woman, heard somebody on television one day was preaching. She said, now, I'm not like these faith preachers. Said, I can't just pray a prayer of faith one time. I just have to keep praying. Well, she's praying a word of doubt. Uh-huh. That proves she's in doubt and unbelief. I mean, I'm talking about the petition of prayer now. There's the prayer of intercession, the other thing. But I better not get sidetracked on that. And they use this to say that God is, Jesus is teaching us to just keep on praying. Now, let's look at this. She said, avenge me, mine adversary, and he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me. He's only troubled, he's not weary. Now, if she keeps coming, he's going to be weary. You know, we talked about this in our fish camp one night.
Yeah, we did.
I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming. She hadn't been continually coming yet.
Not yet.
But he knew the infliction in her voice, and she didn't come up. Oh, if it wouldn't bother you too much, would you please do something about it? No, she said, I'm telling you, it's a commandment. You avenge me, my adversary. And he said, ooh, that troubled him. He got he could see that woman's finger and her voice infliction. She said, I'm going to do this, or she'll continually come at me.
He didn't want any more of her.
Yeah.
He'd had all of her he wanted in one time, and if she keeps coming back in here, she's going to drive me crazy.
Now, here's the bottom line. And the Lord said, now let's hear what the intent of it was. The Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Now, he qualifies as the devil. The unjust judge, not God. And shall not And shall, well, let me read it together. Hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect? He's a just God, and we're his elect.
Yes, we are.
Which crieth unto him day and night. They said, see there, he's continued to cry. That means day and night. I mean, if you got a prayer to pray tonight, you could pray tomorrow about another situation. Not talking about praying the same thing.
That violates every rule
that Jesus put on prayer.
I see it. It's a continual communication with God as his elect. He talks to me and I talk to him.
Now, some of you have been wondering, well, I'm not praying anymore because I hadn't got that last prayer answered. That's what he's telling you here. You pray the prayer, believe you receive, praise him for it, and thank him for it every day, but you got another need tomorrow, pray for it. You pray day and night, not about the same thing. That would have violated. Now, we don't have time to go into that, but you study the things Jesus said. Yeah. He said the Pharisees thought they'd be heard for their much saying. In other words, just praying something over and over. So the whole context of this is bringing it to this point where it tells you, I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Not the unjust judge. God will judge his elect speedily. He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith, or this kind of faith on the earth? I say, yes, he will. Because we're teaching people how to assemble the truth out of this word. Now, here's what happens. People are taught wrong, and the people are not doing it to teach wrong things.
No, they've been taught that way,
and they teach it. Faith cometh by hearing, and they've heard it wrong way so long, they believe it. It doesn't make it true, but they believe it. And then they teach everybody that, you know, these trials and troubles and tests are to just perfect your faith, and that's what Jesus is telling you to do here. It's the exact opposite of what he's telling them to do. Oh, man. now come over here. Here's another one. Now, what we're doing, we're pulling thorns that keeps people, the Word, from bearing fruit in people's life. Come over here to the 9th chapter of John. Jesus passed by, and he saw a man that was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, that's a crazy question to us. We'd think, well, how could a man, you know, sin in his mother's womb or before he was born? This man sinned or his parents, that he was born blind? Well, now, see, the Jews believe that you could sin in your mother's womb. So that's the reason they ask the question this way. Now, listen to what Jesus said. Jesus answered, neither. Now, that's the answer to their question.
Neither one of them.
You're wrong on both occasions. Yeah. It wasn't the man's sin. It wasn't the parents' sin.
Yes, sir.
Neither has this man sinned, nor his parents. Now, let's analyze this statement. Neither has this man sinned or his parents. You can't take that literally because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You have to determine from the context of this that he is saying that it was not the parents' sin nor the man's sin that caused him to be born blind. That's what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
But that the works of God should be manifest to him, I must work the works of him that sent me. Now people say, well, see, it says he was born blind so God could heal him. No, that's not what he said. That's not what he said. Let's read it again. Neither. And when he says neither has this man sinned nor his parents, he's saying it was the man's sin nor the parents' sin. We know he can't be saying they didn't sin because that violates his own word. So he said it was neither. It was not the man's sin, was not the parents' sin, but that the works of God should be manifest to him, I must work the works of God. He said if the works of God are going to be manifest in this man's life, I've got
to
work
it.
I'm going to have to work it. Yeah. Now notice what he did. He says, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and anointed the man's eyes. Now, in today's language, you said, here's the mud in your eyes, or so to speak. Now, nobody had ever done that to that man before. He's thinking, now see, this is a placebo effect for this man. And not that there wasn't some other reason, but this never been done before. And this man thought, something's going to happen. It was a way to cause that fellow's faith to be inspired, that something's happened to him that's never happened before. And, of course, he might have felt the anointing when he put it in his eye. And he said, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is interpreted sent. And he went, therefore, and washed and came seeing. Now the works of God are manifest in his life, and he's not blind anymore. He wasn't blind so God could work the works of God. But Jesus said, neither of those things that you said, neither one of them was true. He didn't say what caused it. It might have been a birth defect. It might have been some other things. But don't read things into the Scripture that is contrary to the Word of God. Now see, this is the way you discern the intent. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure it out, that Jesus is not going to talk contrary to his word. So when he said, neither does this man sin nor his parents, it means that it was not the man's sin nor his parents' sin that caused it to happen. But he said, if the works of God are going to be manifest in him, I must work them. And he worked the works of God, and after he worked the works of God, then the man could see.
Well, sin was not the key issue at all.
No.
No, no. The works of God was a key issue, wasn't it?
And see, people say, well, I sinned and I know God's something bad's going to come on me. That's condemnation of the devil.
Yeah, it is.
You repent and it's as though it never happened, you know. But now watch this. This man also represents Israel. Israel was blind. Not because God blinded them. Most people think it is, but we'll deal with that in the next broadcast. But because they closed their own eyes. And when he went and washed in the pool of peace, that's what Siloam means, peace, it's the washing of the water of the Word.
Yeah.
And when Israel bathes himself in the washing of the water of the Word, they won't be blind anymore.
Now, that's the key issue here.
Yeah.
Sin wasn't a key issue at all.
No.
God is a key issue.
That's it.
This ministry is a key issue. Getting this man healed is what's important here.
Right.
And then, of course, he never did anything that wasn't in every way truth.
Right.
And so, I mean, he's ministering not to just one man, but he said, I came to minister to the whole house of Israel. So these are the key issues, and he took their thinking and brought it from sin over to what they were thinking about, over here to what was key for them to learn and for them to be thinking about. And then we turned around and did the same thing they did and centered up on sin instead of centering up on the healing.
Yeah, and see, this steals faith. Now, if a person believes that cancer is from God and it come on them because they sinned,
that steals your faith.
They're bound in that until they get loose from it and until they get their eyes open. And the way you do is bathe yourself in the Word, what the Word says, and you'll come out of it seeing, and you'll find out it's the work of the devil and not of God, and God is not the author of cancer.
You and I had just sit here and run out of time and didn't even know it. I got so caught up there what you were saying. They're waving over there and saying, we're out. Brother Charles and I will be back right in just a moment.
For every believer longing to receive the blessing God has provisioned for each of us, for anyone with a friend or loved one in need of the victory that is the result of Bible faith, Kenneth Copeland Ministries offers the spiritual perspectives of Charles Capps, presented in this profound book, Faith and Confession. Faith and Confession is a practical, biblical look at exactly how to activate Bible faith in your daily life. This is nearly 300 pages that clearly outline how the faith-born confessions of God's Word tap into the supernatural realm of blessings. This is a 21st century look at the biblical principle that balances faith and confession. In this book, Charles Capps explains how the law of faith works, the difference between a confession and a lie, and how to use wisdom when acting on faith. The abundant life God desires for every believer is within reach. For you and for someone you love, Faith and Confession from Charles Capps will open the door. To order your copy of Charles Capps' book, Faith and Confession, log on to kcm.org and order online. This book is essential for your family and is available for just $12. To order by phone, call us at 800-575-4455. You may also write to us at Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. Order your copy of Faith and Confession by Charles Capps today.
Now, I know how rich this was to you today. I got so deep into it that, seriously, I didn't know we were out of time until I began to realize it. On these broadcasts, you can do very little more than introduce these things day after day, but that's the reason for these tools that God has given us, because the details are in this book, Faith and Confession, how to activate the power of God in your life, how to release it in your life. And you can take this book now, and that's what these things are for. It's not because we're in the book business. It's not because we're in the tape business or the CD business or anything like that. These are tools where you can get detailed instruction. You can go over it and over it, go back to these verses and say, now, what did he say Jesus said? Well, you can go back to this and say, oh, yeah, I see. Okay, yeah. And every time you do, your faith gets stronger. Every time you say it, your faith gets stronger and stronger and stronger. So get online, call, write. I don't care what you have to do. Get this book into your hands. Praise the Lord. We got three believers' conventions this year. Same reason for these conventions. Same reason for meetings. That's what this is about. The West Coast Believers' Convention, June the 30th through July the 5th, is in Long Beach, California. Southwest Believers' Convention, August the 4th through the 9th, here in Fort Worth, Texas, our own hometown convention. Great Lakes Convention in Milwaukee, August the 18th through the 23rd. Praise God, we've got meetings in Europe this year. We've got... Why? So we can come together and immerse ourselves in God's Word. We'll see you tomorrow. Till then, remember, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For a DVD or CD copy of this broadcast, visit our website at kcm.org or call toll-free 800-575-4455. This is the year of fullness of blessing, a time for you to receive the blessing without measure. Tomorrow on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
The problem's not with God. God took the problem. He took it on himself. He fixed it. The problem is not in what he has refused to do. The problem has been in our not receiving what he's already done.